firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
So what do you think? Should a Christian's life be so different that people around us know what we believe? Well, that's a good question. One that Dr. J. Vernon McGee will answer today on Through the Bible. We're in Romans chapters 14 and 15, where Dr. McGee gives us three principles to live by. In our last studies, we've heard the first, and today we'll hear the final two. So turn in your Bible to Romans 14, and we'll begin today at verse 17. Now, as you're finding your place, let me share a great letter from a college student in Hallsville, Missouri. He writes, "I've been listening to Through the Bible since I was a small boy, in the car with my parents or at home. I like Dr. McGee's voice. It always felt to me like that of a kind older man, like a grandfather. As I grew older, I came to deeply appreciate his excellent preaching as well. I listened with my father and talked to him about the program many times. And one day I asked him if we might be able to go see Dr. McGee preach. That's when I learned that Dr. McGee was already with the Lord, gone before I was even born. At first I was disappointed, but have come to be glad that someone could still reach lost souls even long after his death. I couldn't help but think that Dr. McGee is still reaping eternal rewards, even though he is already in heaven. I try to catch Through the Bible every day, but since I'm in college, the timing sometimes conflicts with class. I really love to listen and always gain something from it. It wasn't until today when you asked people to write in and tell how they listened to the program that I found out you have a smartphone app. I downloaded the Through the Bible app for my Android smartphone and listened to today's program again. I'm so excited to know this, since it now means I can listen to the program whenever I want. This is such a blessing. I also just wanted to say thank you very much for all of the work that is put into this ministry. I know it is a great thing because God's word will not return unto him void. God bless you and keep you going. There's a new generation coming up with me who needs to and wants to hear God's word." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed that your word is alive and speaking to the hearts of every generation. We would welcome your spirit to continue to work in our hearts today as your word is taught. We ask this in the power of Jesus. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we have come today back to this 14th chapter of Romans. Now, this, you may come to the conclusion, is as important as Romans 8. I don't feel that way about it, but I'm giving a great deal of time to it because we're in a very controversial area today. And it candidly has led certain of these hypercritical saints who think they're so separated to God that they find nothing wrong. And yet some of them are given over to gossip, vicious gossip. And some of them actually are dishonest in their dealings. And I'm not saying something this morning I don't know. I do know this because I've had dealings with them. And I found out that sometimes you have to watch the fellow that's always carrying a big Bible around under his arm. I've discovered that several of those fellows, you better watch them in every other way. Now, we need, therefore, to see that there are no rules put down for believers, but certain great principles have been put down that believers are to follow. And that is the reason we've been dealing with this particular area in the way that we have. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Romans 14 and verse 18. But again, I'd like to come back to this statement that is so abused today. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is actually the only reference in this epistle to the kingdom of God. And I personally do not believe it's synonymous to the kingdom of heaven in Matthew, which finds its final fruition in the millennial and messianic kingdom here on earth. Now, I think the kingdom of God embraces actually all that's in God's created universe. And in that, there is the church. And I think that he's having reference to that. And it's broader and larger, and it includes God's reign over all his creation. And I think that Dr. Lang has given us a good, satisfactory definition. He says the heavenly sphere of life in which God's Word and Spirit govern and whose organ on earth is the church. Now, I think that was our Lord's use of the term. Remember, the Lord Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, that's that heavenly sphere of life in which God's Word and Spirit governs. And of Dr. Stifler, as we said before, God rules everywhere, but there is a realm where he governs by spiritual forces or laws alone, and that is in the area of the life of the believer. Now, man is totally incapable of seeing or entering this kingdom without the new birth. Now, this kingdom has nothing in the world to do with eating or drinking, fasting, no meat on Friday, no pork or vegetarian diet. These things actually just don't enter into it, my beloved. Righteousness here, I think, would mean the same as it does in Romans. It means to be right with God. It means a life lived well-pleasing to him. And in the Holy Spirit, it goes with righteousness, and it has reference to our standing, not only to our standing, but our walk. It's walking in the Spirit. It's practical rather than theological. It's moral rather than oral. It's a righteousness in the Holy Spirit rather than the righteousness in Christ. And this joy here is something that's absent today in the lives of believers. It's a fruit of the Spirit. There should be joy in our lives. That doesn't mean you've got to run around smiling like a Cheshire cat. And then we got a group of song leaders today. I think they don't have anything else to say, and they get up and say, "Now everybody smile." Well, I learned a long time ago, I don't have to smile just because a song leader wants me to smile, and that doesn't prove whether I'm a Christian or not. I think it's whether you've got joy down in your heart. Now he says here in verse 18, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of man." Now, he's not trying to say that there's not going to be a literal kingdom on this earth. The Lord Jesus said, "I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine till I drink it with you in the kingdom." There will be a literal kingdom on this earth. But he's talking about this spiritual realm that you enter today by the new birth, you see. And these are the things for the one serving Christ. In this, he's well-pleasing to God, and he's approved to man. Now, it doesn't mean that men are going to get in the cheering section and applaud you and give 15 for you because you're a believer. They may even persecute you. But underneath, men do approve a genuine believer, and they despise and reject that which is hypocritical and phony today. This is a great principle of conduct. The walk and talk of the believer should please God and meet the approval of the conscience of man. Now he says in verse 19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." He intends to give the believer an exhortation here, and it's a twofold exhortation. To pursue peace here means to press toward the mark. The believer is to make a definite effort to avoid the use of food or any physical thing which offends a brother. This, by the way, is the negative aspect of the exhortation that he's been giving. We should press toward the mark of spiritual values, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. These are the things that build us up and do not destroy us, you see. It's impossible for a child of God to grow today, so we're going to see, apart from the Word of God. Now, verse 20 says, "For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. On account of food, do not tear down the work of God." Now, the believer has the liberty to eat meat or abstain from it. Meat doesn't commend us to God. But for the sake of the physical, do not tear down the work of God in the heart of some weak believer, don't do something that would absolutely wreck his own life. We need to recognize the old bromide is accurate. One man's porridge is another man's poison. And Esau, for instance, he had no regard for God and the birthright, and he was willing to exchange it for a bowl of soup. Don't sell your birthright just to satisfy your appetite. Now, verse 21, it's good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. And he returns to this issue, eating and drinking. And I think probably in this we do offend some folk. Now, verse 22 gives us the second great principle of Christian conduct. Will you listen now very carefully? Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now let me give you my translation. The faith which thou hast, have thou to thyself in the sight of God. Blessed or happy is the man that judgeth not himself in the thing which he approves. And that means that which he does. The very interesting thing is, he's now taking up actually the other aspect of Christian conduct. Now he said, as you look toward doing something for God, you ask yourself the question, will it be right for me to do this? Can you do that with excitement and anticipation and joy as you look toward it? Now, this exhortation looks back at what you've done. Happy is the man that doesn't condemn himself in that which he has done. Now, I want to use a ridiculous illustration, and I know it'll be misunderstood. I've been asked the question, can a Christian get drunk? And the answer is yes. The prodigal son was a son out in the far country. And I'm confident he did that and quite a few other things. But he was always a son. Now, what was the difference then between the prodigal son and those pigs? Well, the difference is simply this. There never was a pig that said, I will arise and go to my father. That prodigal son, down there in the pig says, I don't like it here, I hate it, and I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to rise and go to my father, and I'm going to confess what a sinner I am and what I've done. Now, what's the difference then between the man that gets drunk, who's a Christian, and the man in the world who gets drunk? And what's the difference between the two then? Well, the difference is simply this, that man in the world, the next morning, he'd get up with a headache, and he'll put an ice pack on it, but the next night he'll say, boy, I sure had a big time. I'm going to get me a bigger bucket of paint and a bigger paintbrush, and I'm really going to paint the town red next time. But what about the child of God? Happy is the man that proves himself and what he's done. And that child of God, that next morning with a head as big as a barrel, he drops down by the side of his bed and he said, oh God, I hate myself and I don't want to do that again. I'll arise, I'll go to my father. And the Lord Jesus said, I'll have to wash your feet if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the interesting thing is, there's no record the prodigal son went back the next year to the pig pen. He didn't like it down there. That's the difference, my friend. That's the difference today. And happy is the man. Now, are you doing something, Christian, today that after you've done it, you look back and you hate yourself for it? Now, I don't care what that is. You're wrong. You're wrong. It could even be going to church. And I think sometimes that's the most dangerous place for some people. It was a dangerous place for Simon Peter to be in the upper room. So many say, oh, if I could only been in the upper room with Jesus, how wonderful it would have been. Had you ever stopped to think that the most dangerous place in Jerusalem that night was in the upper room? I heard of a preacher that went over there and came back. He thought that when they showed him the so-called upper room, he'd really seen it. Well, of course, what they show you over there was built in about the 10th, 11th century. It's Byzantine. It hasn't anything to do with our Lord's Day. I do not know that it was even in that particular area. It could or could not be. I'm of the opinion it was probably over in another section. But be that as it may, he said, oh, what a feeling he had. How wonderful it would have been to be in the upper room. Well, that's the worst place in Jerusalem to have been that night. You know why? Because we're told that Satan was there. I don't know whether he was down in the slum area or with the drunks at the barroom. I don't think he was. He already owns that crowd. Why fooleth them? He's more or less ashamed of them. So he moved in another area altogether. He was in the upper room. My friends, sometimes the most dangerous place to be in church, you see. So do you have to condemn yourself? Did you come home from church Sunday and say, oh, I wish I could have bit my tongue off. I wish I hadn't said what I said. Well, you shouldn't have said it. May I say to you that happy is the man that doesn't condemn himself. Oh, to look back on your conduct and say, oh, I'm glad I did that. I'm happy I went over to see so-and-so. Now, let's move on here. Happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. We're told here in verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith. May I say, my friend, you ought to believe in what you're doing. And if you don't believe in it, you ought not to be doing it. The believer's saved by faith. The believer's to walk by faith, you see. And that's the thing to test his conduct. Now, will you notice, as we come to chapter 15 now, and we're beginning to move to the end of the epistle to the Romans, we have now the relationship of believers to one another and to outsiders. Now, first of all, we have the third great principle put down here, and that's a consideration of the weak brother. And that actually is continued from the last chapter. And it's the subject of separation we have in the first three verses here. Then you have the consolidation of Jews and Gentiles in one body to glorify God. And then you have the continuation of Paul's personal testimony as apostle to Gentiles and to Romans in particular. Now, this section will conclude the major argument of the epistle. And Paul will lapse back to personal relationship. Now, we need to say probably just a word here when we get to it about this matter of radical higher criticism has questioned the authenticity of these last two chapters of Romans. And they do it without any valid reason or documentary evidence of the Pauline authorship. But it is the custom of the Bauer School years ago to question the authorship. And I think that today this authorship of Paul is established, and we may conclude with this statement of Dr. Kerr in his introduction to New Testament study. Despite these objections, the integrity of the epistle as it now stands is certain. Now, let's move into it. We come now to this third great principle for Christian conduct. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, this is the third and the last guiding principle which should govern the conduct of Christian. You see, Paul identifies himself with the strong ones, and he insists that these should show consideration for the feelings and prejudices of the weak believers. When you invite a Christian over to your house that doesn't believe in dancing, don't put on a square dance for him, because you'll offend him. Maybe you can square dance. I don't know. I can't. But I'm a weak believer, as you can see. There are certain things I very definitely feel I cannot do. And one of the reasons that I can't do certain things is the very fact that it's consideration of others. Now, I haven't been inside of a moving picture show in years. I can't even remember the last time I went. Somebody says, oh, you're one of these separated fellas that don't believe you can go to movies. Maybe you can go. I don't know. I'm not judging you. I can't. And one of the reasons is right here, consideration of the weak brother. We that are strong, I feel like that I could go. I think some of these would disgust me today, to tell the truth. But we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Well, I'm not going to judge you for going. And you remember Paul says, wherefore if meat make my brother to offend, I'll eat no meat while the world's standing unless I make my brother to offend. Paul said, I can eat meat, but I won't eat it if it's going to offend my brother. And let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Seek the interests of the other man. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, Paul could say, I'm free from all men. I make myself a servant in all that I might gain the more. Now, Paul says, under the Jews, I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. And a great many people say, oh, I can't understand how Brother Paul could take a Jewish oath, shave his head, have a vow, go to Jerusalem to the temple. You'll understand it, friends, if you understand what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 19th and 22nd verse, where he says, to the Jews I became a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, I might gain them. Somebody says, oh, I would never go to a, let me say it very plainly, to a Roman Catholic church. Well, years ago when I was a student in seminary, I went with a girl who's Roman Catholic, and I'd go with her to her church. You know why? Because the agreement was she'd go with me to mine. That's the way I got her to go, the way I got her to make a decision for Christ, by the way. This idea today, these hyper-separated folk, my friend, we can't indulge in things that are definitely wrong. Somebody says, how far can you carry this? I know a group that went into a burlesque show to witness. Well, I think you're in the wrong place. I can tell you very definitely from Scripture, those things are wrong. There's certain things wrong, friends. And somebody says, well, I'll go in a nightclub and take a drink with them. Yes, and I know a girl became a drunkard that started that sort of thing. That's wrong. We're talking about questionable things. Has come up to the movie. Would you go to a movie? If I thought it'd win somebody, I would. I haven't been to one in years, as I've said. May I say to you, what I do is my business. What you do is your business. I'm going to have to give an account to Christ someday, and you are too. And what we do, we ought to do because we love Him and want to serve Him. That's important. Now, we are told here, for even Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. This is the only place where Paul apparently uses Christ as an example, but he's only an example to believers in redemption, friends. Never are we to imitate him, because very frankly, no one has ever become sanctified or become a Christian by following an example. You become a Christian by faith in Christ. We're going to have to leave off that next time. We move now to this second section of this chapter, the consolidation of Jews and Gentiles in one body to glorify God. Paul will become very personal before this epistle concludes. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Those are great principles to live by. Very practical. You know, I especially appreciate that Dr. McGee made it clear that our conduct is a reflection of our love for the Lord. He said, whatever we decide to do in any given circumstance, we ought to do because we love Him and want to serve Him. You know, that's the best principle by which to make decisions. If you'd like to dive in deeper on these issues, I'd recommend downloading Dr. McGee's free booklet on Romans 8 called Living the Christian Life God's Way. You'll find it on our website, ttb.org, in the resource section. There are a ton of free resources on ttb.org, by the way, and you're free to download all you want or need. And speaking of a great resource, do you need a calendar for the new year? Well, you're going to really love Through the Bible's 2018 wall calendar called Through Every Open Door. This is our first world-focused calendar that we've had, with really beautiful pictures every month of a door somewhere in the world. And we chose these images to inspire you to pray for the open door to the gospel in a different region every month. It also includes great quotes from Dr. McGee and the monthly Bible schedule for our daily broadcast study. The calendar is only available for a little while longer, so call 1-800-65-BIBLE to get yours or purchase it online at ttb.org/shop. You know, one reason I really like our new calendar is that it helps me to picture the places where we're together taking God's word. And it helps me to pray, very specifically for the people who live there. Of course, an even better way to do that is to join me and others on our world prayer team. As the thousands of people who already are praying can testify, it doesn't take long, but our prayers are being fruitful. Find out more online at ttb.org/pray. Well, we're back here again tomorrow for another amazing study in the book of Romans on our 5-year journey through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here on the Bible bus, saving a seat for you and whoever else you invite to come along with us. See you tomorrow.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.